Grace and peace to you from Lord God and our Father and the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. It is a pleasure to be with you guys today and a great honor. I pray that this will be a blessing for you as well. Today's passage is Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. It's to be found on page 124 of the Pew Bible. I'll read the New American Standard, but I'll be preaching from the New King James, so the quotations may be a little different during the sermon. So that's Joshua 1, again, page 224, verses 1 to 9. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing you've given us in your word. And as we listen to your words preached, we pray that you open our hearts. Let us hear your word spoken, and may your spirit move through this sermon. Pray that we be edified, and that we will grow closer to you, and grow in better understanding of your law. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Back in high school, I became friends with a girl who was an unbeliever. She knew that I was a Christian, and she knew that I wanted to become a pastor someday. And at first, when we first became friends, she was often annoyed when I would talk about spiritual matters. She had one friend who was currently in seminary, and we would often talk about the Word, about Christ, about God, and she would get annoyed at that. But after some time, her and I, began to talk more about spiritual matters. She had already had many other friends who really took hold of their faith. Their lives seemed to affirm something greater than themselves. They trusted in the Lord, and she wanted to experience that same trust, that same power of belief in a higher being. She began to attend a church that was near where she was living, and at one point she texted me saying that she had become a Christian because she had sat down with a pastor and said the sinner's prayer. However, after some time, she renounced her faith. Her life was not like what she had seen before in the lives of her friends. She had no sense of trust and nowhere near the same amount of belief as her other friends. In her mind, this meant that it was all just a lie. She had made her own promises to herself that were not being fulfilled in her own time. And because She did not rely on the promises of God. She left the church and walked away from the faith, and eat with even less belief in the existence of God. Many of you today may fear that the Lord's promises will never be fulfilled in your life. Or even worse, perhaps you fear that there is no promise from the Lord. There have just been so many obstacles in your way, and you've not seen the Lord's hand acting for you. Perhaps you've been doing your best to follow the Lord's law, but there's still no improvement, nor prosperity in your life like that which is promised in this passage. You see, in this morning's passage, we see that the Israelites are sharing a similar fear. They are unsure where the Lord's hand is, and unsure in which direction it is leading this nation. They are asking, where are the Lord's promises to us? And so the Lord gives them encouragement, showing them there is no need to fear, and that his promise will be fulfilled. And so in the command at the beginning of this passage, we see a basic principle from the Lord. And that basic principle is, continue on, for I am with you. So the first question we must ask is, why does Israel need encouragement? What is so wrong with their lives that they would even question God's promises to them? And the first thing we will note is that they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years has it been since they have left Egypt. And I don't care who you are, but that is a really long time, especially when you compare it to how long it should have taken them. This journey from Egypt to Jerusalem is said to have only taken about 11 days. And so after 40 years, things might seem hopeless, especially when we consider all that this wandering entails. As we read in Exodus, there is a lack of resources, causing many of the Israelites to desire to return to Egypt, where the resources, especially food and water, were abundant. In Exodus 16:3, we read, "And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" They feel so distraught over how the Lord is taking care of them that they would have rather remained slaves in Egypt than seek the gracious promises of the Lord, a God whom even enemy nations have recognized as being with the Israelites, as is testified by Rahab in the next chapter of Joshua. Another problem that needs to be recognized is that this is not the same generation who left Egypt. In 40 years, many have passed away, and many have been born. However, this is in part because of a curse from God. In Deuteronomy 1:34-35, we read, "Then the Lord heard the sound of your words, and he was angry and took an oath, saying, 'Not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give your fathers.'" So this is not the same generation that left Egypt. This is a new generation that does not know the ways of life in Egypt, the pain of slavery, or the torture that was endured there. Many of these people were born during this wandering, and so they are desiring and seeking the promise of the Lord to be fulfilled in order that they may have rest from their lifetime of travel. They have only known wandering, and they have no place to call home yet. Israel also needs encouragement because their greatest leader has just died. You see, in these 40 years, Moses, a man chosen by God, has been mediating between Israel and the Lord. He is the one who brought the Israelites the law of the Lord. And he is the one who led them up to the door of Canaan, which is the great promised land. He brought them the word of the Lord and the instructions to build a tabernacle so that they may worship God properly. Moses even penned the Lord's accounts of everything that happened since time began, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. But now, at this time in Scripture, Moses is dead. This great man of God, Israel's great prophet, who has been with them since the beginning of their wandering, is now dead. Israel also needs encouragement, though, because the promised land is filled with enemy nations. In Numbers 13, 30 to 33, we read, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight.'" You see, the problem is that the Israelites don't trust the Lord. Even though the Lord has done so much for them, even though he led them out of Egypt, even though he protected them from the attacking armies, he provided food for them from heaven in the form of manna, and made water come forth from the rock for them, they still do not trust the Lord. We read from Deuteronomy, "Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God is going before you. Will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey, and to show you the way you should go. The Israelites are not hearing, nor are they seeing all that the Lord has done for them, all that was done to preserve this nation in order that God's promise would be fulfilled to them." And so in this passage, the Lord reminds them of all the reasons they should be encouraged. 3 times in this passage, the Lord uses the phrase, "be strong and courageous." Or as you'll hear from the New King James, "be strong and have good courage." And in each occurrence of this phrase, he also gives a reason for Israel to be encouraged. And that first reason is the land itself, which is promised to Israel. In verse 6 we read, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Now this term "fathers" can mean one of two things, though both fit and both make sense. The first sense we can get of the use of the word "fathers" is that it is the land was promised to their immediate fathers, the generation that left Egypt but died in the wilderness, leaving the next generation to take up the promised land. But in another sense, fathers can be understood as the line of ancestry before them, tracing all the way back to Abraham and the promise that the Lord made to him. In verses 3 and 4 of the opening command of today's passage, God is laying out what that land is and how it will be delivered to them. Then in Genesis 15 and 18, we see something very similar, a very similar promise made to Abram. We read, "On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. So this land was promised to Abraham. And that same promise was passed down through the generations. It is a promise that has been a long time in coming to be fulfilled. And so in this passage, God is assuring Israel that this land will be given to them. But it is more than just the land that is being promised. Later in this passage, in verse 13, when speaking to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, there was a reminder of a promise of land made, along with a promise of rest. Remember the word which Moses, my servant, servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. So there is a promise of rest that is entailed with this promise of land. Rest from wandering and rest from the trials. And so the Lord is saying here, I am good to fulfill my promises to you. And he will fulfill this promise to the rest of Israel. Then there is the second encouragement, which is the encouragement of the law. The Lord tells Israel in verses 7 and 8, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The law of the Lord is a gift to Israel. And that gift showed them how to live righteously, to show them how to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. But it is also a requirement for the Lord's promise to come to fruition, a requirement to see his promise fulfilled. Again, we read in verse 8, do not turn from it to the left, to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And then we have the third encouragement. And that third encouragement is the Lord himself. The Lord says in his last encouragement, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is a great blessing and a great encouragement from the Lord. To not be forsaken by the Lord is to be a part of his chosen people. In this encouragement, he is not just demonstrating that he has not forgotten Israel, but rather that he is for Israel and no one else. To reaffirm that he is with Israel, the Lord sent his Son, Jesus Christ, whom we also call Emmanuel, literally meaning God with us. He dwelt amongst Israel and continues to do so in the hearts of all believers. Before Christ ascended to heaven, he gave an important speech, a speech we call today the Great Commission. He delivered the speech to his disciples in Matthew 28, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. For those who are a part of Israel, the Lord is always with them. So three times in this passage, the Lord says to Israel, be strong and courageous. Now people often misinterpret this phrase. They believe it to mean that Israel was to muster up courage within themselves, to be bold in their faith and in their own works, that they may earn the right to have that promise bestowed upon them. But rather, what the Lord is telling them, that they are to be strong and courageous because of the faith they have in the Lord. And this faith is not by their own doing, but is a gift from God. Strength and courage do not come from within the believer, but it comes from God. God is the one who gives the believer the power to follow His law in order that that promise may be fulfilled. It may seem that strength to continue comes from obeying the law by our own works, but it doesn't. You are able to continue on through these trials because of the faith the Lord has given you. Faith is what gives you strength and courage to follow law, and a power to hear the commandments and to obey them. He gives you this faith that you may see the promise fulfilled. Now, after the Lord gives these encouragements, Joshua musters up the soldiers and enters into Canaan and to conquer it. Joshua has great success conquering city after city and region after region of the land. And it's because he trusted in the Lord. However, Joshua didn't conquer all of Canaan, nor did anyone else during the whole reign of Israel in the land. There were always places within the boundaries of Israel's land that were occupied by foreigners who did not worship the Lord. No leader in all of Israel's history had brought about the fullness of the Lord's promise to Israel. Not until the Lord sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to lead Israel and to fully fulfill the promise. You see, the land that the Lord promises to Israel is just a token, a sign of something greater to come. An even better promise for those who are in Christ, for those who are part of the true Israel. And it is a promise of rest. No mere man can lead the Lord's people, only the Lord Himself. Christ will lead us into the land of promise, and Christ will conquer the foreign nations. Only Christ can fulfill the Lord's promise so that we may enter this promised land of rest. Paul writes in Hebrews 4, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, that is, to those who are outside the church and thereby outside of Israel. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed by the power of God do enter that rest. Life is full of hard times. In this congregation alone, I am sure there's a long and extensive list of obstacles and troubles. It may not be the same things that Israel is dealing with, but nonetheless, there are things that can be very discouraging and make you wonder where God's blessing is and where the Lord is in at all. But that is not something you should fear. The Lord has told you that He is with you and that you will persevere. He has a great promise for you, and He has sent Christ, the Son of God, to lead you to it. A great day of rest from all those obstacles and all those troubles. A rest from traveling through this sin-filled world. And so the Lord says to you, continue on, for I am with you. We must remember the strength and the courage that the Lord has given us when we see those obstacles of life. Continue on, and remember the promise remains, and that Christ will lead you to that promise. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for all the blessings You've bestowed upon us. We thank You for sending Your Son, Christ, to die for us, that we may be redeemed and be part of Your nation of Israel. We look forward to that day of rest, that day of promise in which all of the sin will be wiped out from the world. We look forward to the return of Christ, that time in which he will lead us into that great day. We pray now that as we go forth into the world, that you give us strength, that you give us courage, that we may be assured of the salvation you've bestowed upon us, that we may be assured of the promises that you've given to us, and that we may know that they will be fulfilled. In Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen.